Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Darmalars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. The Darmalars podcast begins now.
Welcome to the Darmalars podcast, where we're real professionals about things.
You should have grabbed that candy.
I'm not going to put candy in my pocket and then eat it later, especially if it's chocolate.
You could hold it on your hand.
I could hold it in my hand and melt the shit out of it.
My prank went awry.
Yeah, you tried to prank me with melted chocolate all up in my pants.
There's no chocolate in there, stupid.
What? What kind of candy?
That was the joke, and you ruined it.
Oh.
By grabbing it.
Oh, it's like an empty wrapper.
Hey, guys, it's the Darmalars, apparently.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
And girls.
And girls, Jesus, Ben.
Well, you're the one who did it this time.
Take two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm Ralph.
And I'm Ben, and this is the Darmalars podcast.
All right.
So what's your week like, Ralph? What'd you do?
Eye doctor.
Yeah. How'd that go?
As good as the last time.
Which means glasses?
I did not get glasses yet.
But you're going.
I will. I'm going to go back to get my eyes dilated
next week. Did you pick frames first?
No.
See if you can pick frames.
I want my same frame, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, because when I go and they dilate my eyes, I'm like, great. Now I don't know what any of these frames look like, or you yourself, sir. So how am I supposed to pick how I'm supposed to look with these things when I can't fucking see?
Sir. You got stuck with a dude.
Good, sir.
Eyes.
I did. There's this optometry college. We mentioned it before. It's across the street from my house, and
the
it's full of
college.
Hot chicks. Yeah, it's like where hot chicks go to learn optometry.
And you ended up with a dude.
The one dude there.
He was reasonably hot. Your roommate, Matt Clark, who keeps mentioning that he wants to be mentioned on the show,
yeah,
also got a dude.
I know. I heard about that.
So here's the thing. I've been talking this place up with all of the hot chicks, right? And
yeah.
So my name gets called, and I turn around, and Stevie mentioned that she noticed a look on my face. Because I got the hottest, blondest girl in the entire place last week.
And were you busted by the look on your face?
She knows. She knows it.
It was expected going into it that you'd get a hot chick.
When you go there, there's no denying. She knew it. She looked at the girl. She's like, ha, that's funny.
I mean, you talk
weird
it up.
Kind of luck of a draw type of thing.
You talk
I haven't
about
been in 2 years.
I know. And me and Matt, not so much.
Yeah, guess not.
Did you get any Easter candy this week? Did you get an Easter basket?
I got some Easter candy yesterday.
Yeah, I got some on Wednesday.
I got a Cadbury orange cream egg.
How was that?
It was tasty. I got two of them.
Was it chocolate on the outside? Or
it's just like it looks just like a Cadbury cream egg.
Uh-huh. So like
it's,
Juliet's
it's,
back.
It's white. It's white with the yellow yolk.
Okay.
But it tastes like orange cream. It's really good.
Huh.
It's not as rich as the rest of them.
Okay.
The regular cream eggs are really... like sweet.
I'll try that. I got strawberry Whopper eggs. It tasted like strawberry quick.
Whopper eggs?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of malt.
Well, these are high in malt, but they're also like strawberry quick, which I don't know if you're a fan of or not.
I am.
And it's actually kind of inspired me to go get some strawberry quick.
When we're done, we'll
at
go
my
to
first
7-11.
Opportunity.
We'll go to 7-Eleven when we're done.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll get you
dude, I have to go to the store. I have to get the syrup. I have to like add it to soy milk.
They have it there.
They have soy milk? They have the syrup at 7-Eleven?
They should.
Oh, 7-Eleven loves me.
Well, they have orange cream eggs regardless.
That much is guaranteed.
There you go.
We saw Grindhouse.
We saw Grindhouse and
that shit was
it.
The bomb.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Death Proof, not as good as Planet Terror.
I don't know.
Kelly hasn't seen him yet.
Kelly.
We should probably mention him.
Yeah. Kelly's sitting on the bed of orange today. He is Engineer Kelly.
Engineer Kelly, as part of our rotating engineer gig, he's waving at you guys out there.
Yeah.
Grindhouse was, I don't want to spoil too much of it for Kelly, but the first part was awesome. The second part kind of dragged for me.
Well, because I think the whole time you're watching the first full-length feature, you're thinking, man, I sure have another full-length feature to get through.
Yeah.
And it starts off very, very wordy.
Yes. And then there's a little bit of action, and then it's wordy again.
Here's my line of thinking. If you went to an actual grindhouse cinema like in the 70s, I've seen old movies like Death Race 2000 and all those kind of movies.
Straw Dogs.
They're really wordy, and they really don't get to the point. Like, you have to sit through a lot of stuff before you get to the good stuff.
And well, and it's also, I think, maybe representative of the kind of luck of the draw that you would get at a grindhouse. Is
yeah.
Like, all right, this movie was really sweet. This one, not so much. Good thing yeah. I'm seeing two for but the price of one.
If I were to go see Death Proof on its own, I mean, I'd be like, sweet, that's an awesome Tarantino movie. But I think that the
double feature factor
after being in there 2 hours yeah, already,
Death Proof would seem less interminable if I wasn't already in the middle of watching a movie,
exhausted.
So, yeah, but Planet Terror was outstanding, so I do recommend go see Grindhouse. It made like $11 million this weekend.
I know,
that's pathetic. Yeah. I made that much this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which gives me the right to talk.
What that you do?
Whoring. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
25 cents a pop.
Wow.
So it was a slow weekend.
Is there enough time? Do math on that.
No.
Get back to
that's my favorite kind of math is how much whoring you can do in one weekend. It all depends on the guy, man. If he's quick, you know. More power to you.
You could at least said girl.
I mean, girl. I mean, girl. When I said guy. What do you have from Netflix right now, dude?
I still have Children of Men.
Man, you're slow.
You know what? It's funny because I get Space Hunter in the Forbidden Zone 3D, and
right.
I get Mechagodzilla 2,
right.
and I watch those like immediately.
And then you get
but
a
then
good
I get
movie.
Like a real movie, and it's like, well, you know, I gotta sit there and kind of pay attention to it.
You have to kind of get yourself psyched up to watch it.
Yeah, The Relic should be in the mailbox. Have you seen The Relic?
Is that with
Penelope Ann
Mira
Miller?
Sorvino?
Penelope Ann Miller. That's the mimic.
Oh,
the
my
Relic's
bad.
Penelope Ann Miller. It's a giant. It's a giant. It's like a giant rat slash beetle in a museum.
No, I haven't seen that. That sounds
Tom
interesting.
Sizemore.
Sizemore's cool.
That's one of the movies I found. I saw a long time ago. It was like 97 or something. Who knows? But it's like one of the first movies I saw where it was like a horror movie, and there wasn't, it didn't, like the relationship between the main male lead and female lead didn't turn into a relationship.
They didn't have to have a love story tacked on.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, that's cool. I like that idea. That's what I liked about Total Blue Streak. One of the things I liked about Total Blue Streak.
Total Blue Streak?
Yeah, that's what I've seen like in the posters and stuff. Because I guess it stands for Total BS.
Oh.
Because there's that girl, and like the girl shows up like halfway through, and you're like, oh, great, a girl. And then she goes away.
Sweet.
And Martin Lawrence continues to make me laugh.
And so. You don't have to deal with pesky girls.
Yeah, that's right. I had Sneakers. I watched that on your recommendation.
Did you enjoy it?
I really liked it.
I thought you would.
At first I was kind of blown away because at the beginning when there was that flashback scene, I thought that the other guy was played by a different actor, and I thought that Sneakers was still being played by Robert Redford, but it was a totally different dude. It was just really good casting.
Really good lookalike.
The movie was good. And right now I have National Lampoon's The Rise of Taj.
Hey, how's that?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. National Lampoon's Van Wilder's The Rise of Taj, brought to you by Pepsi.
Awesome.
I haven't seen it yet.
Sounds like, oh, man.
I got the unrated version, so I'm hoping there's going to be some, you know, gory deaths. Probably not. Probably the better part of our rated.
There wasn't Blades of Glory. You never know.
That's true. Rated R for violence and a scene of decapitation.
Oh, Jesus. Speaking of decapitation, what do you say we get into Lost?
Yeah, let's cut the head off of this show.
All right.
Episode 3X16. One of us. Evil gobble, dude. Did you get that text when I sent that to you?
I did, and I didn't understand it, and then I did understand it.
Okay, good.
I didn't understand the Geeble Gobble part.
I haven't seen Todd Browning's Freaks, to be honest with you.
Neither have I.
But I believe that they say Geeble Gobble. I don't know where I got that from.
I only know it from Clerks the Animated Series.
I know it from Clerks the Animated Series, which is kind of like, I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but when I was a kid growing up, I maybe didn't watch every movie that came out, but I sure read a lot of Mad magazines. So a lot of times I knew the mad parody of a movie, but not the movie itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? But yeah, One of Us, a Juliet episode. What did you think, dude?
A Juliet's boobs episode.
Man, those
everybody things. Noticed. Everybody talked about her boobs all over that episode.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I wonder why. Like, they aren't like any more there than they were in previous episodes.
No, they were a little bit, but not super much.
there's yeah. just as much there. I just, for some reason, I think this, I don't know.
This was a good episode for boobs.
It was.
You know? So, I liked it a lot.
The boobs or
yes.
the episode?
God, yes. But yes, the episode. I thought...
It was chock full of stuff. You know, it's funny. A lot of people say Lost don't give you answers. Lost never gives any answers.
Yeah.
I put in... I've been recording all of the episodes of Season 3 on a DVD, and I threw in Tale of Two Cities into my DVD player. I was checking out the quality, see how it looked.
Uh-huh.
And it's the opening scene with Juliet that they flash back to this week. And... totally forgot what I was going to say.
She's there when the plane wrecks and Ben
her
doesn't want
her boobies are just as big. There you go. That's all I have for that. God, what were we talking about?
You were talking about answers. Were there any questions raised?
And as I'm watching this episode, you start realizing all this stuff that you didn't the first time you saw it. Like, they actually do splinter in, like pepper in, like, answers throughout the series.
Yeah.
And
sometimes you just don't have the perspective to get them.
You just don't notice. And when you go back and watch it again, it's just like, oh, wow, I know what's going on here.
Like when she says free will. She's talking about in that episode. She's like, apparently I thought that free will still existed on this island.
Yeah.
But it's because Ben just told her, sorry, no, you can't fucking leave.
Yeah. And then, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, and they do. But I think it's kind of like, you know, whenever God closes a door, he opens a window. It's like whenever Lost answers a question, they ask you three more questions.
Yeah. and if you go back and look again, it's you're like, wow, I really
I really
understand. It's I don't know,
which
I just
is funny
don't
because
the complaining because this episode had all kinds of junk in it.
But what makes me interested about that is like the way the show is done with such secrecy, and like the actors don't know, and the producers maybe know, the writers know every now and then. To be able to layer in answers that early is really, I think, a testament to how creative they can be.
Yeah.
And how layered the show is. So, remember we had that one. We listened to that one interview with Michael Emerson where he was saying, "You know, I don't know if I'm another or not." So I just gave him the creepiest face I could, and then decided to use that take.
Yeah, because he would do a take different way each
time. Okay, now do a take like you're innocent. Yeah. Okay, now do a take like you're another.
Yeah,
it's crazy. That's a crazy way to work as an actor. Yeah. I mean, imagine if you went to if you had a job. but imagine if he went to work and he didn't even know what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. So, okay, Menelaus Bioscience, right?
Yep.
MB. Is that where that guy got his name? The guy on the blog?
I have no idea.
Or is his initials MB? Or does he like the coffee?
I believe he sent us an email.
Uh-huh.
And M or B was neither of his name's initials. So who knows? MB.
When I saw that logo for Menelaus Bioscience, I was like, huh, MB. Look at that.
Could be.
Connections. I've decided that the island is 4 days square because it's it's 2 days from one end to the other end, and it's 2 days from the top to the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 4 square days. That's my second favorite kind of math behind hookers.
How many hookers can you fit in this?
In a 4 day square island? Jeez, if I had 25 cents a pop and I did $11 million worth on the weekend, a lot.
Nice.
A lot of hookers. Just be rolling in hookers on the island. And when it gets cold, you just be like, more hookers! Throw on more hookers!
You have all kinds of quarters.
Someone's got to go back to town and get a shitload of quarters.
Send the sub.
Hey, who do you think is Rachel's baby daddy is?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Or Danny DeVito. I have no idea.
Because it's such like an experimental thing.
Yeah.
It's probably like some frozen sperm. Like
someone
thought
she was actually a dude. I
saw that. Because Juliet's so proud about making a dude field mice pregnant. Why doesn't she make her dude sister pregnant?
Yeah.
I don't know. What kind of cancer did he have then?
Penis cancer?
Penis cancer that grows boobs for you?
And a vagina.
and a uterus. That's quite the cancer. I don't know. I think... I hope it's not one of those things where, you know, how... It's cool to have all the connections. I love that. That's what's awesome about Lost.
Uh-huh.
But not everyone has to be a connection. Like, the father of the baby doesn't have to be Mr. Albert or Jacob.
But was she at the playground that Jack was stalking at the in Tale of Two Cities?
Ooh. That'd be interesting. She was at Arcadia
Jack's
Park.
The dad?
So we could look it up.
Who? Well, I'm assuming that she wasn't impregnated by a dude. It was probably artificial.
Artificial because of the laboratory style.
Who on the island
contributed the sperm?
Would contribute sperm. Sawyer.
Sawyer to make money. Charlie to get heroin.
Score some blow.
Because don't you get like $50 if you blow a load for sperm donation?
I guess I don't know.
And Charlie's got.
You would know. You're the one making the money on Johnson.
Charlie had that habit, and he had like a number one song, so you know people are always looking for talented sperm donors. Mm-hmm. Could be Charlie.
Like Tenacious D, this when they're selling their sperm at a lemonade stand on the street corner. What about her sperm?
What about the Tenacious D where Jack gives Kyle a blowjob? It's just covered in load. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, well, you know, if it turns out that someone on the island contributed the sperm for Rachel's baby, then, you know, we called it first.
Sawyer.
Sawyer. Jack says that Juliet's under his protection. That was, I don't know. I go half and half on that. Like, half of me was like, that's so cool. You
well,
do
he's
it,
the
Jack.
Only, he's the only one vouching for her. Yeah. So what he's saying is true. I mean, he may not have said, you know, I'm going to be your bodyguard, but he's still kind of...
He's, like, responsible for her.
So if she fucks up, he's screwed.
It's
and
on
he realizes
him.
That. He realizes that.
Yeah. He put himself out for that one. I felt bad for the little baby crying while Claire's implant was activated.
Man, how many more Aaron crying episodes do we need?
I guess...
Was it maternity leave or just, like, nonstop?
He's a baby, dude. The show's been 3 years and he's, like, a month old. So at that math, my third favorite kind... We'll need like 16 more years of the show before he's old enough to stop crying.
God, jeez.
I know. So get ready for more turnip heads. I assume they fly to the submarine. Something I was thinking about. Because they start off at an airport. And then she wakes up in the submarine. So unless they get her.
Well, she mentioned that there was an airport that was like
connected she didn't expect
to,
it.
to their facilities.
Yeah.
In Portland.
So you think. Yeah, she's from Miami. So. I don't know. But
I think there were, from what it looked like, the Medilos Bioscience had a airport in the backyard. She mentioned something like that.
Yeah,
I didn't realize the airport was so close.
Where's the ocean?
I don't know.
Do they drive her? Do they drive her to the sub? Yeah, did she drive it? Did she flew?
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
She definitely flew to where they were, but then
yes.
and then
but
they
then somehow she had to get to the sub.
Put on a sub.
Did you see what I was talking about? The trigram that's on the sub and on the guys' vests.
No, I didn't.
If you look at the Dharma Initiative logo, you know how it's made up of the hexagrams from the I Ching. Mm-hmm. Each half of those is a trigram.
Yes.
And the one that was on the sub in those dudes' jackets is this one on the bottom where it's broken, then solid, then broken again. Uh-huh. And I looked it up on Wikipedia, the source of all true knowledge. And
I invented number 6.
Did you put that on Wikipedia?
No.
Number 6, invented by Ralph.
No.
Iron de Havilland. It's apparently about water.
Okay.
So there you go. Submarine. Your submarine has something to do with water. And who knew?
It's my favorite kind of math.
I liked that the dudes had those on their vests. I thought that was kind of cool.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, they had like half of, they had like 1/16th of the Dharma logo on their vest.
That's cool.
And they reminded me of like Batman henchmen. You know how they would, because they all had
striped shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Did they have the knit caps?
They had knit caps, and they all had their name.
I must not have seen this episode.
Yeah, were you watching?
I can't. I haven't watched it a second time.
Well, it was like just on the back of some dude's vest and on the submarine.
Yeah.
I mean, I was saying that I wish that I had little packets of tranquilizer. You know, what would you like in your coffee? Splenda, tranquilizer, fucking sugar. I should have gone with tranquilizer on the third one. Comedy rule of threes. End it with sugar.
Comedy rules of two. And then add some more info.
And then keep going.
Do you think that Juliet really took the sub there, or do you think the sub is a front?
Like they flew her there and then they put her in the sub?
Like it's a fake sub, yeah.
Okay, here you are.
This
You're
is
safe.
How we get here, so.
Well, somehow Mr. Alpert, Dr. Eyeliner, can go back and forth from the island, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Does he use the sub, some other means?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I didn't want to say darkness washed over Juliet, which is from my favorite movie. Okay, there's a scene where she's on the sub and she's about to get out, and she asks Ethan, you know, how do I get out of this fucking submarine? And he points up, into the hatch
uh-huh.
to get out of the sub. And it reminds me of Roswell. Did you ever watch Roswell?
No.
I wasn't a huge fan, but Becky watched it because she was way into the WB. Uh-huh. And there's a guy in that, and when the girl finally, when he's finally confessing to the girl where they're from, because it turns out they're aliens, he just uh-huh. points up, like, hey, I'm from up there. Mm-hmm. And that guy always reminds me of Ethan and vice versa. So I thought it was really weird. Also, they're both in The Grudge with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's a stretch.
That's yeah, and he's right. I'm not saying it as a connection. I'm saying that was what it made me think of when I saw it, because that's how my fucking brain works. You remember Maggie Leiser?
Yeah.
Maggie Leiser Assoff?
Yeah.
What about Benjamin Linus Assoff?
God damn. Your brain does work strange.
Benjamin Linus Assoff.
I think Amy mentioned on the boards that you were fucking batshit crazy.
You mentioned I was batshit crazy.
Yeah. You're batshit crazy. That's
Amy,
how you
Amy said
me.
That I was crazy for liking Catch 22, but we'll get into that in another chapter. I know. I have to defend myself. So Claire's not feeling so well, and Charlie's like, oh no, what are we going to do? Does anyone have any aspirin? And Sawyer's like, you know, now that he's all convinced by Hurley that he could be decent, he's about to get some aspirin right when the fucking doctor shows up. Hooray! Thanks for stealing my thunder, spinal surgeon. Yeah. I was about to provide aspirin.
Yeah. So his leadership lasted for about a half a day.
Well, hey, Kelly wants to say something, man. Go for it.
Okay, I know. Sorry, I'm interrupting. So last week when Hurley said, hey, dude, Sawyer, you have to be the leader now.
Yeah.
And then the next day, fucking Jack shows up. Yeah. I'm wondering if that's going to like play in.
Jack
anything.
Constantly cock-blocking
yeah.
everything
yeah,
that
exactly.
Sawyer wants
he was,
to do.
It's just as he was convinced to do it, here comes the real leader that everyone voted for in the first
Sawyer's
place.
So Sawyer's going to put up a front again. Oh, I don't want to be a leader. I'm going to be a dick to you guys.
It would be
now.
Like if George W. Bush took off and Al Gore took over as president. And then Bush was like, I'm back, y'all. And Gore's like, man, fuck this.
I don't think that's how our government works. All right, sounds good.
I don't know. I've never read the Constitution. Jack's been gone for 16 days. You know how we never do research? This time I did the research. I looked it up.
I know he's been gone for 15 episodes.
Wow. That's almost an episode a day, which was on par with the first season.
Yeah. That's Engineer weird. Jeff and I discussed that. That he hasn't been with the Islander guys
all season
since the end of last season.
Yeah, that's very true.
This is episode 16, so.
Yeah. Well, that's weird. Then my math seems odd because I know we've had several days in between episodes.
But I'm wondering if some episodes took place over one
on
day.
On the same day? Yeah, I think so.
Like maybe Glass Ballerina took place while Tale yeah. of Two Cities was going on.
That's right. Is Goodwin a doctor, or is it just everyone chips in?
He's like the sous chef of doctors. How does that work? What are those guys called? Assistants?
A nurse.
A nurse, so he'd be a nurse.
Or a physician's assistant or whatever. Yeah.
Or a fucking dude who scores with the doctor.
Yeah.
What are those guys called?
Lucky.
Snap.
Yeah, that was a hot picture of her sexy back. And I was so fired up on it, we rewound it and watched it again. And we're like, yeah. And Becky's like, you're seeing nothing. Yeah, but it's really sexy. I like backs.
You can see more on Elias's avatar on the board.
I know, and that shit is awesome. I put that in my Netflix.
I don't even know what it's from.
It's from Gia, some movie where Elizabeth Mitchell gets naked with Angelina Jolie.
Sweet. Mark that.
Netflix.
Mark that DVD. We'll
yeah,
see
I'll put. I'll mark it all right.
All right, what cum. Do you got next? I love Lost. I'm sorry, I'm reading the back of your
Oh,
notes.
Yeah. That's one of my notes, is I love Lost. I'll get to that later. Don't fucking ruin my flow.
Oh, my God. You have 11 notes. Let's go.
Sabine.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Just another other. She's the one that died on the table.
Okay, cool.
That's just every time there's another other. That place is fucking lousy with others.
Nothers.
Okay, you saw that the cancer information was from a male patient?
Yes.
Do you think that was just like a production error?
Dude, if you're... yeah, it is.
I think so. I think they just fucking grabbed...
It's like when Jack was trying to fix that one dude in the flashback and he didn't, but the daughter like kissed him.
Yeah.
Whatever. The information on the x-ray said Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean,
it's just a production error.
How are you going to find that stuff?
I mean, especially when everyone looks at this show with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
All this talk about Jacob fires me up.
I think Jacob, I mentioned this to Kelly earlier, I think that Jacob is Ben Linus's
Tyler Durden style alter ego.
I guess I didn't want to ruin Fight Club for anybody.
But fuck them.
That's what I.
You know,
that's what I was trying to get at. Yes.
It's funny how I decided that we couldn't spoil Zardoz or Transformers the movie, which are both way older. But fucking, we will spoil Fight Club right now.
Yes.
Hey, if you haven't seen Fight Club out there,
Tyler Durden's not a real dude. He's a figment of what's his name?
Of Ed Norton's sick, twisted imagination. Too bad. You know what? If that's true, then that's crazy.
I hope that Jacob is a gigantic robot with dials and knobs and worrying things on it.
Can Ben talk to him from his wristwatch?
Ben talks to him, and then it's and then it's like the MCP from Tron. And then he just goes and talks to it. And it's like the Wizard of Oz.
So that's why everyone's so concerned really about who's good, is because that's one of his rules, is you can't kill good people.
I require macaroni art. South Park.
You said MCP. God, what was I thinking of from RoboCop? I was thinking of Ed 209 somehow.
What? I said MCP from Tron.
I know. I'm dumb.
Wow.
I think I was thinking of
RoboCop.
OCP.
Obviously.
Isn't that the company
yeah.
name?
Yeah. I thought that was funny that I actually mentioned the movie.
Yeah, you did say Tron.
No, same diff.
Okay, so
dead or alive, you're coming with me, user.
User.
All right.
Juliet convinced the hell out of me. I fell for it. That's the sad thing that I have to admit to in this podcast, is that I fell for her con.
Okay.
It's called the Honey Trap.
Okay.
That's
happens
from
at
Super
the end
Troopers.
Of the episode, so I don't know. Where are you at your notes?
Oh, you know, we don't really.
Let me discuss this at the end, because okay. That's an actual discussion.
Okay.
Because I have a counterpoint for that.
Okay. Dude, there's something that we have to get into about why Ben is sick. Like, I'm interested in finding out about Jacob. I'm interested in finding out why Ben's in a wheelchair and why he got cancer in the first place.
Well, Ben's in a wheelchair because he just got out of
surgery. But he should be better already, maybe, according to how the island maybe works. And the island that makes it so that women can't have babies?
What if that's the season finale? Linus flashback.
Yeah. That would be hard.
That would be a fucking bitchin' finale.
That would be
like
kick-ass.
The way they did the Desmond one last season?
Yeah. That would be really cool.
I don't...
Or season opener.
Finale. Dude, this whole season's been about Ben Linus, dude.
It has been.
It's got to be a finale.
And it was funny. It's like he came out of nowhere, you know, a year and a half ago. Yeah. But it's totally about him now.
Yeah.
As someone who grew up on this island that... I mean, okay, think of what this show could have been if these people just fucking landed on Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, just like a regular island. It could be a show about like, oh, where are we going to get water? But instead, they crash landed on this island where you can't reproduce, but your cancer gets fixed.
You can reproduce.
But it'll kill the mom.
Oh, okay. I mean, Jin and Sun reproduce.
That's what I wanted to say about Jin is I think either she conceived off the island with
Jay. Or Juliet did it. Wait, didn't I say that like a while ago?
That
maybe Juliet.
Because, I think you did, because she's a fertility doctor.
Yeah, but what did I
say? I don't know if you said that here.
No, I was talking about how there's lost time between the time the raft exploded and Jin ended up on the island. And he seemed to be unconscious when he made it back to the island.
Yeah.
That I thought that maybe...
one of the others
Tom
went in and fixed him.
Maybe picked him up. They had fixed him and brought him back.
Maybe.
Maybe they did some research.
I think
definitely some time missing there. Definitely time. I mean, I'm just saying,
miraculously,
she gets pregnant, and at the same time, we find out that this other
is
girl,
a fertility
Juliet,
expert.
Can, yeah.
Why do you think Juliet's there on the beach camp? Do you have a theory for that yet?
This goes along with I want to talk about.
Okay.
That.
Okay. Well, let me just power through these. I want more Tom.
Me too.
I miss him.
Yeah, Claire's boyfriend, Aaron's daddy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, dumbass. Juliet fucking calls out Saeed and Sawyer hard.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Sawyer, I guess. But I was going to say Saeed should have just cut her head off.
Maybe. I wonder what happened to Basra.
Where's your lies now? Oh, what's the matter? You can't talk?
What's the matter? You can't lie out of your neck hole? I wonder what happened to Basra. And
I want to know how many people he tortured.
And I want to know how the others know that Sawyer shot that guy and if he's going to be in trouble if they're ever rescued.
I don't know.
I like that Ben mentions that Mikhail never has his walkie on. We're coming up to the house. Don't shoot us.
Yeah, it was... Was that an issue in Enter 77?
No, I don't think so. It would have been kind of cool if it was a callback. But
yeah, that's what I thought. I thought I'd just something again.
Just like a touch, just something you throw out there. Yeah. Maybe it'll be in another flashback, or maybe it's just to make it look more real.
Yeah.
There's 324 people on the plane. That's important.
Yeah.
48 on our camp.
22
on the other side of the island.
Shit, there's a lot of people not accounted for.
Yeah, but there's probably a lot of people that die when a plane falls out of the sky.
Yeah, so look forward to more Nikki and Paulos, guys.
Yay!
What else we got?
Nikki's twin, Jiggy, is going to be there. And Paulo's brother, who's identical to him.
Mallow,
as played by Rodrigo Pantoro.
Sweet.
I read it in an article by Teve Torbs. Julianne is named after her favorite fries. I think, pretty sure. Or maybe named after Juliet, maybe. Curly. Yeah, Curly.
Steak.
Man.
Yeah?
I think we can talk speechless? About the rest of it now. I mean, Ben mentions Price. He says Price is on his way to refill the medical supplies. So there's yet another other, unless that's like Richard's last name or...
Richard Price?
Yeah.
Price?
Or Tom's last name.
Tom Price. Richard Price. That sounds familiar.
And they have 1 week. The clock is ticking.
Okay. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
So let's get into this talk. Let's get into this Juliet thing. You fell for her con.
I fell for the honey trap. I don't know why. She looks honest.
Here's the thing.
Kelly did too.
With everything going on in the show, with people taking sides and whatnot, who's not to say that Juliet's not on our side?
Like she could be agreeing with Ben, but
she could be agreeing
double
with
crossing
Ben
him.
So that he, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's totally true. And
I mean, when is Lost that obvious to where they say, hey, this is what's going on,
exactly,
and that's how it happens?
And someone brought up that point. Like if she was going to be double crossing just the beach people, then they wouldn't have ended it with that scene.
It's one of those things that you've seen a million times where it's like, you know, it was all fake, but I really do love you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I really did fall for you.
Like, okay, I started dating you on a bet. But then I realized who I really was.
Like it happened with Charlie and Lucy when he was trying to steal dad's thingy.
That's true.
And it happened with Sawyer and Cassidy, right? If I'm not mistaken.
That Sawyer fell for her.
Yeah.
But he did con her at the very end, but maybe just because Gordy made him.
He didn't want to die, but.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
So it could be one of those things.
I think it very well could be, but.
I've never seen a scene that nailed it so much on the head like
the first time.
That scene. Like. Okay, this is what you're
going to
do.
This is what you're going to do.
You're going to wear this handcuff.
Turn left.
You're going to go in here. Then you're going to see me in a week.
Which, if it is, if it does turn out that she's straight up just, you know, playing along with Ben, mm-hmm. it's kind of a weird scene then. It kind of
I think she might paint
by numbers.
I think she might be starting her own mind game.
With Ben?
Because she can do what Ben says, but also be get Jack's...
support.
Yeah. And but she can like kind of weigh
play
her
both
options
sides. And then she can
see which one is going to get her off
yeah.
the island.
Who's going to work better? Okay, I'll go with you. And because I didn't say anything.
Here you are. You're kind of this lady who's been on this island for 3 years.
And she definitely wants to get off.
Definitely have two groups of people and you're definitely in with both of the leaders of each camp.
Right at this point, yeah.
So she's
and even
weighing
the others.
Options. She's weighing options. So I think that I mean she knew that Claire was going to be sick.
So she had to go and fix her anyway.
She had to go ahead and do all that stuff.
And that gave her the in she needed. So now she could go either way. She's like teetering on the fence, like whatever is going to work out best for her.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's totally possible.
So I'm really not thinking that it's as blatant as they tell us.
What was it Ben said in The Pearl in Nikki and Paolo's episode? He says, I find something that they're emotionally invested in and then I exploit it.
Yes.
If for Juliet to be doing that, she would have to be exploiting whatever Ben's emotionally exploited in, which is the island.
Yeah.
Emotionally invested in, excuse me. So whatever his plot is obviously something that he needs from these beach people
mm-hmm.
for his ultimate goal, whether it's like you know pleasing Jacob or mm-hmm. or you know figuring out what he needs to figure out with the island. So for her to now be in this position of power where she needs her input, that could be her using that against him. That could be her looking for her leverage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
that's definitely open to her. But that scene just blew me away.
Yeah.
In that episode, I was like, wow, all right. Got me.
We'll see.
Never trust a big butt and a smile. Yeah, and I started crying a little bit.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
We'll see.
I do like her.
You cried when Jack came back and hugged Sawyer.
I thought that was super cute that they hugged each other. I like when people are friends.
And earning their 25 cents.
I like when guys earn their 25 cents. Put their heart into it. And their ass.
And their wiener into it.
That's
all. Do you have anything else for this week?
It definitely showed some new light on the island. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how the island, just piece by piece, you're like, this is one crazy place.
Yeah.
I
like it. I like it a
lot. It's got a smoke monster. It has magnetic explosions. Mm-hmm. There's these people living there, mm-hmm. but they can't have babies. But Ben was born there.
And there's another baby that was born there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think, because it turns out that she was lying the whole time, mm-hmm. according to the last scene,
yeah,
that it means that we can't really trust anything she says. Do you still think that she was telling the truth about Ethan? Because we've been talking about that like the whole time we've had the show, is how something's going to have to explain
She's
Ethan.
She really wants to get off the island, and she knows what she needs to do to get off the island.
Yeah.
And I think by helping Ethan,
by grabbing
Claire would have been yet another out. I think she's just trying to do whatever she can to get out of there.
So you don't think that Ethan went rogue? You think he was acting how the others would have wanted?
But I think Juliet has... motivation for being involved with his whole operation with grabbing Claire.
I think you're right. Like I halfway through the episode, I was like, oh, okay, he was improvising. He obviously thought the stakes were raised. Maybe he really wanted a baby. Mm-hmm. Clearly, these people can't conceive without figuring Claire out. But then at the end, I was like, or it didn't happen at all that way, and they all got together. Because, like I said last week, Tom was in the staff. Mm-hmm. But I think it was maybe kind of like once he grabbed her, they just had to go with it.
Yeah.
Like, wow, it sucks that you did that, dude, but we're going to have to go with it now.
But then again, all of that Claire flashback could have been drug-induced.
Yeah.
So I guess, it seems like the last few episodes have been really good.
Yeah.
With giving us some answers or some more insight into the island that... I think the rest of the season is just going to be awesome with answers.
Oh,
and more questions. So
yeah,
I guess we're just going to have to wait to see it played out.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed it. I thoroughly, I mean, Lost. I honestly thought there was a dip between the hiatus and some of the episodes before and after the hiatus. I really kind of felt like a dip in Lost. But now I think it's been strong, even with the expose. The last five or six episodes have been really, really strong.
Yeah. And it seems like it's just moving up.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good stuff. I'll do a podcast about it.
Yeah, let's do
I
that.
I like it that much. All right.
Do you want
to get to next week?
Yeah, let's talk about next week on Lost. Right. Next week on the television show Lost on the ABC network.
17, catch 22.
Get you 22.
We're excited about this episode because it marks our year anniversary, kind of.
It's like this episode and the one after it are split in between our year anniversary.
Yeah.
But if you guys want to send us cards,
do it. We'll send you our mailing address.
Yeah. 3X17
our first Charlie episode.
Our first Charlie episode of the season.
Which we'll see what happens.
About time, right?
Is he going
to
die?
Is he going to try to die like 8 times?
Is he going to die?
Is it going to be all Desmond saving him, Lois Lane style?
We'll see.
It looks like...
Because Lois Lane saves people all the time.
Lois Lane is a very dedicated career woman, and she saves a lot of girls by being an example. It looks like, for all the skaters out there, it looks like Sawyer and Kate fuck again.
Did I watch the promo?
I don't know.
This week I've been really kind of out of it.
Yeah. No, it looks like...
And I didn't get to watch it a second time. So.
I had to drop the F-bomb in there because I said skater and that made me feel bad. So I had to bring it back to some fucking... someone's fucking. That one's just clear.
Skaters. tell me about the promo.
Okay. You see Locke.
Oh, Locke gets pushed down.
Yeah.
Sweet. All
right. And it looks like he's in the room. so it might be him and Anthony Cooper. I think we might pick up from there. Maybe that's like coming up on Lost. Maybe that's not next week on Lost.
Didn't they mention finale somewhere in the promo?
They did.
So maybe they just showed a bunch of clips of upcoming episodes.
This is the beginning of the end of this season of Lost, yeah. Okay.
So who knows?
I think
it could be one of those things.
Yeah, but Catch-22 is, as we kind of skirted around earlier, one of my favorite books of all time, like in my top 10.
Yeah.
And apparently I have to be batshit crazy to think that. So.
No, I bet what Amy said on the boards is that Ben must have a crazy sense of humor.
Yes.
To enjoy that book, because apparently it's a nutty book.
It is, and it's
like far out.
It's
there.
Tough. Like it is kind of tough.
And I mentioned that you do have a batshit sense of humor.
That's true.
That's why I think you get me.
I think batshit is hilarious.
It is. God, did you see Ace Ventura 2? All the batshit in that movie.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's why I said it was better than the first one. Every time I try to throw that out there, I just get shot down.
You do.
Three darts?
For reals?
No.
For reals?
No, not for reals. It's just been so long since I've seen either of them that I feel like I could try it. Like, throw out a test balloon. Ace Ventura 2 is better than Ace Ventura 1.
Nah, we're just here to wait. Say no.
Mortal Kombat is the greatest game of all time.
I disagree.
All right. So, Catch-22. Check out the book. Check out the movie. They're both really good. They're not exactly the same.
Now, Catch-22...
Oh, yeah, I should play that.
Means, like, okay, I need money to get a job, but I need a job to make the money.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you think that plays into Charlie's story?
Well, I think it's like, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. He wants to be able to not die. It might come down to his life or Claire's life.
I think so. I think
in the book, the Catch-22 is...
I think Claire's going to die.
Because it's about World War II, fighter aces. No, bomber. Bomber, guys. Catch-22. Not the episode. Kelly got all fired up because he loves World War II. So it's about this guy who doesn't want to fly anymore because he's sick of being shot at. So he goes to the doctor, and Catch-22 is he asks to be grounded. And if he's crazy, he can be grounded. But if you ask to be grounded, you're no longer crazy. So we don't have to ground you.
Okay.
So it's like there's no way around it. It's like it gets you in a circular. It's a lot like a Catch-22, yeah.
Huh.
So it's like a circular loop. So I think something's going to happen where Charlie is faced with like an impossible choice,
uh-huh,
or no choice, and he's screwed either way.
I think it'd be more interesting if Claire died.
I think it would be sad.
Because then...
Then Aaron will be raised by another.
Exactly, which is interesting. And also... Charlie would have this kind of like animosity towards Desmond for not telling him the truth.
For hiding it from him.
Yeah.
And do you think Desmond's just going to give up?
I don't know.
I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see. I know nothing about this episode.
Catch-22.
So, yeah.
That's how they say it. So.
I don't know.
Some lady. All right. does Seattle Jimmy have anything for us this week?
He should.
That's good, because I really liked the music in this week's episode.
Let's listen real closely.
Let's listen up.
All right.
Hello, everybody. Jimmy in Seattle here, back from illness. Yes, it's true. I've been so laid up, I haven't been able to do any of these shows. But normal service should basically resume today, including the midweek show. Anyway, behind me is Anna Cries from Season 2. Do you remember Anna Lucia? You listen, you can hear the theme, Credit Where Credit's Due, creeping into this piece right now. Of course, that's a main theme that has been repeated many times throughout the series. It's very representative of Lost. Although the strings are getting somewhat fuller at this point, mainly in this episode, I want to talk about subtlety. There are a lot of very, very faint themes that have appeared in the last couple of episodes, and I'm just going to quickly touch on a couple of those. Because I was away, I wasn't able to talk about the episode Left Behind very much. And I have a couple of things I want to do. I'll do some in the midweek show. But one example I found was that John Locke's theme did appear. It was very subtle, almost disguised.
Kate.
John, what are you doing? Did they capture you?
Yes, but only temporarily. I came to say goodbye.
And I'm going to stop it right there for a moment. That is, of course, the scene when Locke walked into the room with Kate and announced he was going home with the others. It's going to be interesting to see what that's about. But interestingly, and to all of our advantage, this week's official Lost podcast was in fact a video cast that featured Michael Giacchino talking about the score, how they record it, the techniques. And one thing he did mention was he kind of leaned towards the minimalism. For example, he mentions how he has this beautiful harp at his disposal that costs thousands of dollars and can do so much, and yet he likes the harpist to hit one note at approximately 60 beats per minute to get a desired effect. He also mentions the percussion section and its use of an instrument known as a flapumba. This is something that's been used very heavily this season in Lost, and we've mentioned it before, actually, how some of the scenes using this instrument are somewhat reminiscent of Jerry Goldsmith's compositions for Planet of the Apes. So we're going to return back to that scene, and I'm going to talk a little over it.
Goodbye.
I'm leaving with them.
What the hell is going on? I mean, what are they doing to you? Are you brainwashed? Where did Jack go?
Jack didn't go anywhere, Kate.
So take note that in the background, there's some single
percussive
notes.
If they told you that they're going to take you home, they're lying.
I don't want to go home, Kate. I want you to know I made a strong case for you. I told them that you were a good person. Reliable, smart, honest. And then they told me who you were and what you had done.
Okay, here's the flapumba.
Forgiveness isn't one of their strong suits. Good luck.
John, where are you going?
Coming out!
Where's Jack?
So we're listening to Locke's theme.
Have you seen Rousseau?
On a flapumba.
John, please, what's happened to you?
I'm sorry, Kate.
It's quite effective, that, and not entirely obvious straight away. But like I said, we've mentioned often about the minimalist qualities or subtlety. We've also brought up several times that this season there is often a case of a single note that denotes a moment of tension or distrust. About four episodes ago, we used an example from the episode Enter 77 when the C4 explosive was revealed. We're just going to jump back in. Take a listen to this again.
I thought you didn't know there was any C4.
Well, I stand corrected.
Why did you take it?
You never know when a little C4 might come in handy.
You'll have to do better than that.
And we all know what he did with the C4. I'm very looking forward to seeing what went on with John Locke. But as noticed, there was just single notes denoting tension. And we got that once again in the previous week's episode, Left Behind.
She's not coming with us.
Here.
Yes, she is.
Why?
Because she's hot.
Because they left her behind, too.
Oh. And here's something else to take note of. Listen to the music now. This is the theme that I mentioned that obviously denotes the others. We were wondering if it is an actual indicator of an other. And now that we know Juliet is actually still an other, it sort of plays into our theory, doesn't it? And speaking of Juliet being a treacherous other, let's just go through that last sequence. Very well filmed final sequence, I might add.
Let's go over it again.
I know what to do.
Let's go over it again, just to be sure.
I drag Austin out into the jungle, handcuff myself to her.
There's a single percussive note.
Then tell her I was gassed, just like she was.
And if she catches you in the lie?
I'll admit to it. Tell her it was the only way to earn her trust.
There's that flipomba again.
Good. What then?
They'll take me back to the beach.
There's the harp. I'm going to say 70 beats a minute.
I know you want me to go there. But after everything we've done to them, it's going to be a problem.
Hermanesque violins.
We've activated the implant in Clara. She should be symptomatic within the next 48 hours. By the time you get to that camp, you'll have a nice big crisis to solve.
The harp is acting like a timer.
I'll need supplies.
Price is already on his way. He'll hide the case at Ethan's old drop point. Tell Jack that you can save her. He trusts you.
It's saying, the clock is ticking. Also, you hear the brass in the background?
Are you all right?
That's another other-centric phrase.
I'm fine.
First time we ever heard it was when Henry Gale was on the beach having breakfast.
See you in a week.
Here comes a bit more harp as well. Also, some of the accents that we occasionally mention are used here. We have a beautiful conglomeration of themes and elements. She ties the rope.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful...
I often wonder if they're ever going to tell us what happened to that balloon and the real Henry Gale. Maybe there's going to be the Ben flashback. We get to see that. I don't know. Anyway, it's nice to be back. Very nice to be back, in fact. As you know, the Daimlars, what have we got? 5-6 more episodes to go before the season wraps up. Still doing the midweek show. That's going to come up Monday or Tuesday. I have plenty to talk about. There's so little time to talk about it. For the record, we've got Bebel Gilberto in the background. Up, up and away. Of course, we also want to give a big shout out to Kim and Amy at the Lost Initiative. Working like Trojans, of course. Shoutouts to lots of people, actually. Maybe the midweek show. Until then, this is Jimmy, once again, from Seattle for the Daimlars. Whatever you're up to, may you be safe, be good, and namaste.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Or, thank you, Jimmy. I was going to say or not, because I don't know.
You don't know?
He's not feeling well. He's really has had some problems the past couple weeks.
So should I be saying, thank you, Ralph's voiceover?
Yes.
Possibly.
But anyway, thank Jimmy regardless for putting in the time he does.
And yes.
We really hope that when we're done recording, we see his piece up.
Yes, I'd like to see his piece. I think, Jimmy is what makes our podcast interesting. And our podcast is the Daimlars. And if you'd like to contact the Daimlars, you can call us at 206-338-4261. Call
That's
us.
For the You All Everybody segment at the end of each show, and you can give us your lost theory.
You could be on this show. Yeah. All you have to do is call, and you're going to be on the show.
You could be just like us.
Kelly did it.
Yeah, Kelly's so. Called. If you don't want to call us, send us a message.
Go fuck yourself.
Daimlars@gmail.com.
That's dharmalars@gmail.com. That's right. We have a Google Mail account. We're pretty awesome.
Yeah. We're our friend at myspace.com/dharmalars. A lot of friends lately. Gosh, we just like.
You know, I noticed that I'm the only me on there still.
Yeah, well, I saw Ryan change his picture back, and I was like, oh, well,
We all had our default pictures on MySpace as our me's, and it was supposed to be because, you know, as the Dharmalars, that way we'd all look the same on our Dharmalars page.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, everyone else has changed, and I'm stuck there holding my dick.
We bailed, dude.
Yep. Bailed out.
We'll take some other pictures. DharmalarsPodcast.blogspot.com.
That's where we post the episodes and we talk about them, but we also talk a lot on ScottandSteve.blogspot.com.
That's correct. I have an announcement to make, and I almost forgot, but I guess this is the best time to
Talk about it.
Tomorrow I'll be co-hosting a non-loss podcast with a fellow podcaster that I've been listening to for over a year. His name's Jonathan, and he does the Geekscape podcast. It's a video podcast, which you can find on iTunes, or you can listen to an audio version. But if you want to see me talking about movies, trailers, dork news, video games, comics, check that out. I'm recording that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it should be up anywhere from Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Geekscape.net is the homepage.
We're all pulling for you, dude.
Or if you just go, if you go to our MySpace page, which we mentioned before, myspace.com/Dharmalars, his show is in our top friends list. So
cool.
Check it out. It should be fun. You'll get to see me talk about other nerd stuff besides Lost.
Yeah. I
saw Kelly scoff at me about talking about comics and movies.
Yeah, I think
I'm sitting here talking about Lost as if this isn't nerdy enough.
But I think you can make exceptions, but then you just went one toke over the line and you lost him.
Well, I'm not a comic book guy.
You like two comic books
until recently, until like a week ago.
But even then, you're still only
excited about this doing this show because he's a big Madman fan.
So you'll have something to talk about.
Yeah, where it's definitely going to be Madman heavy.
That's good.
And
well,
for your height only, we're going to talk about that. So
starring Wing Wang. So
yeah, check out.
I hope you don't choke, dude. So Steve Perry. is there anything else we wanted to journey about?
No.
Trying to psych him out, basketball style. Throw that one out there for Mike Campbell, who we haven't heard from in a while.
He sent us a phone call today.
Good. Thanks, Mike.
I just want to say go Halos. There's been a lot of discussion about the East Coasters that listen to the show, mostly the Boston fans, giving shit to the Angels fans.
That's kind of a bitter rivalry.
They're in Boston as we speak.
And the Angels are awesome.
And according to Mike's phone call tonight, which you'll hear, at the time he called, Boston was up by one.
Ooh.
I don't know where we stand right now.
I know.
Go Halos.
Go Halos. Should we talk about our beloved Fullerton Flyers that we talk about on this show all the time?
Let's talk about that next
Some other time.
I'm still not over that.
That's coming up.
Next week we'll talk about that.
That's a teaser.
Stay tuned to us. Listen to that show.
Did we give out all our info? Are we good?
We gave out all our info. Let's all
right.
What do you say we get out of here?
Are you looking at your shelf? You have a movie to go out on?
I got one.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd like to thank Engineer Kelly, the guitar hero himself, sitting on the orange couch and waving. And Seattle Jimmy, if you're well enough to do a piece, thank you. If you weren't, then get better.
Yes.
Everyone out there in the community.
I mean, regardless, he should be getting better anyway because he's still under the weather.
That's a weird if-then statement.
Take care of yourself, brother.
I guess that's what you're best at. All right, guys. I will talk to you next week. Lost a la vista.
And my axe. What? I could be nerdy. I'm a nerd. You all, everybody.
You are all, everybody.
All right, so... this episode for this week was pretty good. I mean, there was some revealing information. It's good to see that monster thing coming back into the fucking storyline. However, last week, what was the point of that episode? That was the most pointless episode. I didn't think it taught me anything except that they ran out of time or ran out of information to give us, and they were just like, we gotta film some information. Let's go ahead and do this. Waste of time.
What's up, Dharmalars? This is Sarah calling from California. I know you guys love the drunk phone calls, and I'm not drunk, but I've had a few glasses of wine, so got a good buzz going. Anyway, I just started listening to you guys again after a long hiatus. I've been a hardcore Jay and Jack fan for a long time now, And after listening to you guys again, I decided the one thing missing from their podcast is the explicit tag on it. They definitely need to swear a little bit more. You guys kick ass that way. And, yeah. Another thing I love about you guys is how once in a while, when I don't really get all the geeky references, one of you will say to the other, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I appreciate that, because then I feel like I'm not the only one not understanding what's going on. So yeah, to talk about Lost, I have a thought about the gay character that the producers are talking about on the show. I know a lot of people thought it was Boone with that comment Shannon made recently about how he was flirting with a guy or some bullshit like that. But I definitely think it's Tom. I don't know if anyone has said this yet, but when he first put Kate in the shower or whatever, when he first captured her, she was like, I'm not changing in front of you, you asshole. And he's all, dude, you're not my type. So, yeah, I think Tom's gay. And then I think he's definitely inviting Jack to have a Campari soda with him after that football match that time. Anyway, love you guys. Love the podcast. And keep it up.
Hey guys, this is Chris from Jackson, Mississippi. I just give you a call. It's a great episode tonight. I found a lot out about Juliet. You know, I was starting to think she was trustworthy and on the up and up. But looking at that last scene of her flashback, I'm thinking she's a liar and she's just in this for herself. She just wants to get off the island, and at whatever cost, she's willing to do that. So while the episode was great, the previews are even better. You look at the scenes from the next show, you see a lot of stuff, but when you put that in slow motion, you see about 20 extra things that perhaps you don't see normally. I'm thinking we're gonna find out about Locke and what's going on with him, and
hey guys, this is John from Fayetteville. All I was just saying about that show, God damn it. I was one of the few people who wished Juliet to be good, and too bad. She's a fucking bitch, and she only thinks about herself, so. Oh well. We'll see how it goes. I'm excited about next week and the weeks to come. Hopefully I will stay away from the spoilers, and be able to be surprised about everything else that happens at the end of this season. Okay. Can't wait to hear your podcast. And can't wait to hear myself act like a dumbass. Alright, bye-bye.
Hey. Yeah, this is zero-time listener, many-time caller. Just sitting down with my dinner, and I started thinking that I think there's a lot of good in that chick. I'm not giving up on her just yet. And I hope you guys haven't either. Because she's pretty freaking hot.
What's up, Dharmalars? Scott from Minnesota. First time caller. Actually, kind of a new listener, too. I just picked you guys up 3-4 episodes ago, something like that. God, that was an awesome episode. You gotta love that. Answer people got a lot of answers. Question people got some more questions. Character people got a little bit of character. It's all good all the way around. I brought this up on the TLI line, the others section or whatever. I called them up at the same point. My point is Ben sure seems to be able to plan things very well. It's almost like he knows what's going on. I'm wondering if maybe he's having some flashes before his eyes, a la Desmond. Just thought to throw out there, see what you guys think about it. Also, maybe, you know, if he does have those flashes, maybe they originated, like Desmond's originated from the incident in the Swan. Maybe Ben's originated a long time ago with the original incident that Marvin Candle brought up in the Swan orientation film. Just something for you guys to talk over. I'd really like to hear your points on that. Love your show. Have a good one. Later.
At the time of this message, the Boston Red Sox are beating the beloved Angels, who can't pick which city they're from, by one run. I want to thank you for the podcast. It helped me get through through Illinois and Indiana. And Ben and Ralph, I hope this message doesn't come back to bite me. Take care. Bye.